You may be seated. Look at three people and tell them, you're in the right place and you are blessed and highly favored of God. Hallelujah. Now, you should have received a handout when you came in on the nine manifestation gifts and then the definitions. If you don't have one of those, hold your hand up and we'll bring you another one. But take them home, study them, read them. This information will do you no good unless you internalize it. These are the weapons of our warfare. And we've been studying a very exciting group of lessons on the manifestation gifts of the Holy Ghost. These gifts operate in the emergencies of life. And you need to understand the giftings that Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to the church. And the Holy Ghost is the one that operates the gift. The world today is waiting for the churches to function in the gifts of the Spirit. Because the gifts of the Spirit can change the world in which we live. The world of occult, it has risen. Look at your TV. Great prominence in this country. We got crystal ball gazers and we got witchcraft. And the reason for that is because the church as a whole is not operating in the gifts of the Spirit. But that's not true here at Westmoreland. We see the manifestations and we're delving deep into what God has sent to his church to empower the church. Amen. See, we when the real thing comes, the counterfeit will just disappear. It's that simple. And the Bible says, arise and shine. Thy day has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. If you read that in Isaiah 61, he's talking to the Gentile nation, and that's us. And we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this, and it's time for us to learn and go deep into the gifts of the Spirit so we can function and set the captive free. Amen. If you don't yield yourself to God, then you cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've got to yield, know that the Spirit was sent, know that the initial evidence is speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. We're not seeking tongues, we're seeking Him. Hallelujah. And the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, it is the gateway into the gifts. And once you receive the baptism, if you don't yield and release yourself to God in faith, the manifestation gifts cannot function through you. God is looking for a people through which he can operate his power, his anointing, and his glory. And the Bible, it is our source of authority. The Bible is our source of information regarding these remarkable gifts. And so everything we're doing, we're taking it right back to the Word of God because God watches over his Word to perform it. And if you would, I think it's important that we do this over and over. Look on your screen or turn your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, the verse that really sparked this thing in my heart. Paul said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And when I read that and I looked at the church world in which we live, I said, God, we are just ignorant, and it's going to be my quest to learn and to make an impartation. I'm thankful other ministers are coming, and they're interested, and God is whetting a spiritual thirst in people right now. But God is an intelligent being, and God cannot bless ignorance. So it's important that we learn and that we seek God and we seek the face of God and not just the hand of God. You know, some people just preach a little while. They get blessed, and the next thing you know, they're not in the house of God. You know, seek him, not the blessing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the stuff you'll ever need will be added on you. And some people, they make a mistake. Instead of being a God chaser, they start chasing things. And God is a blesser, so you got to say, when the stuff shows up, I'm still going to chase God. I'm still going to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 4, talking about these gifts. Now, there are diversities, many gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but the same God, which worketh all in all. So there's the Spirit, the Lord, and God. There's the Trinity right there in those few verses. I love to read the Word and see those things. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That means that there are giftings that you can operate, and they will profit not only you, they're given to profit the body of Christ, to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. That word gifts is plural. This is the only plural gifts. That's many manifestations of healings. So we're going to look out among us and we're going to say who has the gift in this area. Who has the gift to pray for this? Who got healed of this? Who got healed of that? And let's watch God use that person and flow through them because they have compassion for people in that area. And if you remember, he was moved with compassion. He healed the multitude. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. So you see the three revelational gifts, if you look up there, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. That's why that handout is so important. Verse 10, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. But these all work it, the one and the self same Spirit, the Holy Ghost, dividing to every man severally as he wills. In other words, you don't just get one. Get a big heart for God. He'll divide them severally. I've had all 9 manifestation gifts operate in my life at one time or another. Using these definitions right here, I can identify them. Sometimes they're like links in a chain. They are so closely linked together that it's difficult sometimes to say that's this gift, and this gift. And I'm going to show you tonight how many times they operate, and they've operated in my life as links, and other people that I know. And I've gone back taking these definitions, and what's so exciting about it, I've taken them back to the Bible, and I can take them back to experiences and see the various gifts that are in operation. I don't know if that excites you or not, but it really excites me, because when you learn what they are, where they are, how they operate, and God wants to function them through you, then when God, in the emergencies of life, when he wants to use you as that candidate, that vessel of honor through which he flows, you will be prepared, you'll be sensitive to what the Spirit is saying, and then you will be able to be greatly used of God to be the person that causes someone else to get their miracle, because God allowed his power and his glory and his anointing to flow through you. That's what you want, isn't it? That's what I want for this church. My subject tonight, the word of knowledge in the Old Testament. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, how we've already enjoyed your presence so much tonight. Now, God, open our minds. Lord, the mind is so important. And God, it's got to go from our mind down into our spirit. So open our spirits. Pour your word into me, then pour it out of me, Lord, into those that are listening. Seat us together in heavenly places. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for sending the Holy Ghost to the church. And the church said, in Jesus' name, amen. See, the gifts of the Spirit, they are supernatural manifestations of God, and they belong to the total church. They belong to the entire body of Christ. We have thought for years they were a denominational thing, but they aren't. They're for everybody in the body. Anybody that's been born again, separated unto God, opened their hearts to receive the baptism, is not a denominational blessing. It's a blessing that belongs to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've already pointed out, but it needs to be stated over and over again, that the gifts function on 3 great foundations. I studied for years and years under Dr. Lester Sumrall. He only gave me 2. Only 2. I said, there's got to be a 3rd one. And I studied and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. He was a great man of God, but he only gave me 2. But the Holy Ghost gave me the 3rd one. The 3 foundational things that must take place is unity, faith, and love. The gifts swing on the hinges of unity, faith, and love. He gave unity and love, but faith is what really pleases God. And I pointed that early in Ephesians 4. If you go and read it, you'll find all 3 foundations. That is where the Holy Ghost showed it to me. But look at John 13:35. Now, love is so important. Jesus said, by this love shall all men know you you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Not for another, but to. I can say I love you, but if I don't show love to you, no, you know it's not real. In my deeds, in my kindness, in my actions, you will know if I have love to you. Just like your wife or your husband, they'll know if you're showing love to them by your actions and deeds. Amen? See, when you have love, you're not critical of others. Love is not critical. Oh, no. When you have love, you are long-suffering and you're kind to others. If you don't believe it, go read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. People call it the love chapter, but actually it's the gift chapter. Paul starts his subject matter, 1 Corinthians 12, concerning spiritual gifts. I would not have you ignorant. He ends it in 1 Corinthians 14. But sandwiched between there, he talks about how the gifts operate. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, agape, God's love, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I give my body to be burned and have all faith to remove mountains, if I don't have love, I am nothing. So love is the key element. Jesus said, if you have love, this agape, if the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, then the gifts function through love, unity, and faith. Hallelujah. See, the gifts are mighty. They're wonderful. But we must have unity in the body. We must have faith. We must have love for one another for the gifts to function effectively. The Bible tells us that without love, if we have faith to move a mountain, think about mountain moving faith. We all want that. If we have all types of spiritual gifts, but if we don't have love, the Bible, the Apostle Paul said, we are as a tinkling, a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So without love, the Bible says we're nothing. We are a, let's say it together, Westmoreland, a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. If you're watching by social media, we love you. Come to the house. Get your blessing from God. Amen. Now, last week we began our study on the revelational gifts. And these gifts include, if you look in your handout, the first three items of revelational gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. In our last lesson, we discussed at great detail the word of wisdom. I use the Old Testament and the New Testament, some example. Tonight, I'm just going to focus on the Old Testament with the word of knowledge, and then next week, I'm going to bring up the New Testament. But the word of knowledge, look at your definition there. These are Lester Sumrall's definition. He got them from Howard Carter. The word of wisdom is the revealing of the prophetic future under the anointing of God. The prophetic future. All the prophets possessed this gift. They were seers. They all saw what God was going to do. They saw empires. Daniel saw empires leap into existence. They were seers. Now, Isaiah, he saw the virgin birth. He saw eternity in its splendor and its glory. He was a great prophet. Now, when God gives us a word of wisdom, that's exactly what it is. It's a word. God is all-knowing. God is wise. He's all-wise. He knows the total future. But when this gift functions, you just get a word or you get a fragment. God does not reveal the entire future to us. He only reveals a portion or fragment of that future through this gift, the gift of the word of wisdom. I want Brother Elam Johnson to come. I want him to share with you the word of wisdom, how he ended up here at this church, how God spoke to him, what it was. He's a seer. Now, this man has dreams. This man has visions, a whole lot more of them than I do. And he operates in that prophetic there. And he it's a gift God gave to him as a little boy, God called him. You have gifts. You just got to discover them and recognize them. But I recognize these gifts in his life. Brother Elam.
Probably 10 years ago, I was in a particular church, and the Lord been dealing with me, and Brother Rudy Winston, many of you know him, that came here and remodeled this church. But the Lord had been dealing with me about finding another church to go to. This particular time in the church, I saw two angels. I've told this before probably to some of you. They were in white robes. They came into church doors. Actually, they came through the wall. They picked up someone, I don't know who it was, came down to the front. They went around this way, and they stopped and looked right straight at me with the most blue, piercing eyes you can ever imagine. And they just disappeared. And I had wondered, Lord, what did that mean? And I found out later what it meant for me. But Rudy came to my heart and mind because me and Rudy grew up as teenagers together.
That's Rudy Winston. They grew up in the Lodge Street Church of God together. Rudy went here. He's in heaven now. Okay, brother.
Way back before they locked the doors on the church, me and Rudy would go and pray every chance we get. We'd go to every revival we could go to. So in this particular church I was going to, I was wondering, Lord, what are you saying to me? And I've been crying out, Lord, I hope Rudy's saved. I sure love to see him again as we were as teenagers. And the Lord said, started dealing my heart about coming to Westmoreland because I had thought of other churches to go to. And I hadn't seen Rudy, like I said, in 40 years. And this one Saturday, I ran into him at Lowe's, and he ran up to me, and we hugged each other, and he began to tell me I got saved 2 years ago. And so I said, well, you know, the Lord told me to go to Westmoreland. And he said, that's where I'm going. I said, well, thank you, God. You put us together again. And I told my pastor I'm leaving the church, and I got to go where I feel like God told me to go. And I believe those two angels I saw was for me to move out of that church to Westmoreland. I got to Westmoreland and gave me and Rudy opportunity to get together and come back on Friday nights out here and pray and have fellowship together. And I was, first week I believe I came in the old church over there, and I had a vision or a dream. And I opened the door to go out, many of you know it was on the side to get out, and I saw this black cloud coming towards the church. And it began to be a tornado. And so I was trained, you know, in school you're trained to get against the wall and cover your head. So I ran out into the hallway, and I began to get people get up against the wall. And I turned and looked, and this elderly lady was standing at the back door. She had her hand on the doorknob. And she turned and looked at me, and I saw a couple of bricks as they flew out. She said, the foundation is sure. And God confirmed that to me, seeing those angels telling me to move from that church, move here, that the foundation is sure. We got the best pastor I've ever had to sit on, and I got to tell you that right now. God bless you.
I don't know about that last part, but I know about the dream and the vision. Well, that was the Holy Ghost with the word of wisdom revealing to him the future. And that other church was literally, the story was those people being escorted out, the church was dying. And so he had to go somewhere. So if you're watching my live stream and you're in a church that's dying, this church is very much alive. Hallelujah. I like what my black brothers and sisters say. They say, a church alive is worth the drive. So come on out to Westmoreland. Hallelujah. Amen. Go and praise God. Amen. Tonight, we've come to the word of knowledge. And again, when God gives us a word of knowledge, he gives us a fragment. He gives us just a portion of his knowledge. This is the second gift, if you look at your hand out there, in the category that we call the revelational gifts, the word of knowledge. Knowledge is related to facts. I said knowledge is related to facts. If something is not known, if it is known, it is not a mystery. It is something that's known. That's what knowledge is. So the gift of the word of knowledge is when God reveals to you a fact, something that's in existence, which cannot be seen or heard or naturally revealed. Look at your definition there, word of knowledge. It's very important that you get at least an understanding of these if you're going to operate in the giftings. So this gift, the word of knowledge, God reveals something that already exists. It is in existence, it is a fact, it is knowledge, but it is supernaturally revealed by God. You don't get this, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, is what I'm saying. When God reveals something to one of his servants through this gift, it is something that your ears have not heard, your eyes have not seen, and normally it has something to do with meeting an emergency in life. So when the gifts operate, guess what? Somebody has a tremendous need. These are supernatural surprises of the Holy Ghost, and somebody needs a miracle or something supernatural from God. So these gifts are so important, and And Jesus, he operated in the gifts, all of them, when he was here. And he sent the Holy Ghost to the church, and he said, I want you to do the works I've done, and then I want you to do the greater works that I left you here to do. Hallelujah. So God will not reveal something through this gift unless he has a purpose in doing so. God is trying to save the world. God wants us to function in these gifts so we can change the world in which we live. Now, all these nine gifts, if you look at your list there, of the Spirit, they operated in the Old Testament. Every one of those gifts operated in the Old Testament except tongues and interpretation of tongues. They began to function in the church age on the day of Pentecost. They heard them cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. They went out and they were speaking in all types of languages. They said, we do hear these men speak in our own language, the wonderful things of God. And so that those two gifts are the only two new gifts, tongues and interpretation. The rest of them, we're going to look at them operating, especially tonight, we're going to look at the word of knowledge as it functioned and operated in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah, this seer, this great prophet, he operated in this gift, the word of knowledge. Look at 1 Kings 19 and 14. 1 Kings 19, 14. He said, I have been very jealous of the Lord. See that? I have been very jealous for the Lord of God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken that covenant. He said, they've gone. They backslidden, God. Thrown down your altars, slain your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He said, I'm the only one left. And look at verse 18, what God told Elijah. He said, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. God told Elijah, said, all the preachers are gone. I'm the only one left that's doing any preaching, God. I'm your man. I'm the only one left. Everybody else is gone. But God revealed to Elijah through this word of knowledge that he had 7,000 people that were still serving him. Now, Elijah didn't know not one of them. He had no clue. But God knows the heart, and God knows his people, and God knows the truth in any matter. And so he revealed to his prophets supernaturally that he had 7,000 people who had not bowed their knee to Baal. Now, that's that gift in operation right there, a word of knowledge. He didn't tell him everything. He said, I got 7,000 you don't know about, though. And God told Elijah, he said, I want you to get up, and I want you to get busy, and I want you to go do what I sent you to do. Well, God sent him to anoint a man. Anoint a man and a prophet and anoint a king. Amen. And God says, I want you to get busy. See, Elijah was depressed. He was running for his life. And he said, God, I just want to die. I'm the only one left. God told him, no, I've got plenty. Let me tell you, God's got brothers and sisters all over this world that are praying for you. God's got a church, hallelujah. And God's got people that love you, whether you realize it or not. And God sent the Holy Ghost. And when you start praying in tongues, sometimes God will bring people, he does to me at least. I see them in Africa. I see them all over. And I start praying in tongues, and I pray around the world. And I know God is using me as a catalyst at that time, because he that prays in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. And he that searches the heart knows the mind of the spirit, and he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I could tell you about Paul von Zell. I've told the story, but he was in Africa, and I wrote him that letter, and I said, I got to write it all over again. And I didn't know the man was sick. I said, if he is, he's got the whole fivefold ministry around him. And my wife walks in the back door. This was a word that God gave me. I said, I got to write this whole thing. She said, send it the way it is. And I sent it to him, and I said, I prayed for him in that. I said, now, I pray that the life of Jesus be manifest in your mortal body. I sent him a knife offering. He sent it back. He said, when I got your letter, I had been on the bed of affliction for months, weeks and months. He said, when I read those words, I pray that the life of Jesus be manifest in your mortal body. He said, the power of God hit me and I rose healed instantly. Go on, praise God. That's the giftings. Hallelujah. That's how important it is to pray in tongues. If you got a free-flowing prayer language, let it flow. Don't be afraid to do it. It's the Holy Ghost giving utterances. He wants to pray supernatural prayers through you so you can touch others and change their lives and the gifts can function. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. Did you know that when you get busy doing things for God, for those of you that get depressed at times, you cannot be depressed when you're busy. Amen. Some people are always depressed because they're sitting around doing nothing. Get up and do something. Praise God. I remember when I came home from combat, I just isolated myself and I'd stay out all night and sleep all day. Big, strong Marine, lost down to 135 pounds. My wife said, son, you're killing yourself. Said, you got to do something. My dad said, son, are you ever going to work? I said, I don't know. I can't figure this thing out. I said, I got money, though. If you let me stay here, I'll pay you. And so we agreed on a mountain. But after about 4 months of that mess, I realized I better get myself out and do something. Guess what? I started doing things. And that depression and all those dreams, the dreams stayed. But all of that stuff that was hounding me all day in and day out trying to depress me, it began to lift. Let me tell you when it really lifted. Woo! Love lifted me. Glory to God. When I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Woo! I tell you, love lifted me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get out and get involved in life is what I'm saying. And do something for other people and you'll feel a whole lot better. Amen. But God revealed to Elijah that he had 7,000 people who had not bowed to Baal. God had to do this supernaturally because Elijah didn't know anything about it through natural means. This was the gift of the word of knowledge. Another example is found in 1 Kings chapter 5. Here we find the story of Elisha and Gehazi. Elisha was the prophet who received a double portion anointing from Elijah. And Naaman, a leper, he came to Elisha to be healed. And when he was healed, he got so thankful that he wanted to give God's prophet some gifts. You don't buy the gifts of God. Anybody that says, send this, send that. No, you sow a seed, but you don't buy anything. Simon the sorcerer tried to buy the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, your money perish with you. You have thought you could buy the gifts of God. No, Jesus paid it all. And Jesus wants you to function in them. Jesus wants the power of the anointing to flow out of you so others can be blessed. Hallelujah. That I may know him. That I may reach out and touch him so I can touch others and they may be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. But Elijah, you know, Naaman wanted to give him some. Elijah refused the gifts and he told him, he said, you're healed. Just go in peace and just thank God for your healing. But Gehazi, his servant, he overheard the conversation. He ran after Naaman, and he lied as a downward progression to sin. He lied, and then he took the offering. He took the silver. He took the clothing from Naaman. And when he got back, he hid his goods. And when the prophet asked him, where have you been? He lied again. Sin has a downward progression. Elijah told Gehazi, did not my heart go with you? He saw it all. How did he supernaturally see it? It was the gifts of God operating. God showed it to him, gave him a word of knowledge, saw every bit of it. That was the gift. Elijah had this gift function in his life in a very remarkable way. Look at 1 Kings chapter 6. Elijah used this gift to reveal to the king of Israel where the armies of Syria were camped. Well, we need some people like this in our world today to tell President Trump, hey, this is what you need to do. This is where they are, and this is how you go in and hit them. Did y'all see him today? He said, he looked up. He said, Those others didn't do anything about the economy when China and how they misused us. He said, I guess I'm the chosen one. And he looked up. I think he's chosen too. Hallelujah. Pray for our president. Father, we bless President Trump. It's been so nice, Lord, while that Congress has been silent. We've not heard them trying to stop anything. God, raise that man up even more. Cause him to succeed even more. Give him words, oh God. Words, hallelujah, that come from you. That he may lead us. Glory to God. But the king of Syria made war against Israel. Look at 2 Kings 6 and 9. The man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. Now, the prophet Elijah told the king of Syria, don't go to such and such a place because the Syrian army is waiting for you there. In other words, there's an ambush set up. Now look at 2 Kings 6 and 10. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself not once nor twice. Time and time again, Elisha, he warned the king of Israel where the enemy was. This is his gift, the word of knowledge operating. Look at verse 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, we got a spy in the camp. That's what he was thinking. And verse 12. And one of his servants says, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. He telleth the king of Israel the words that you are speaking in your bedchamber. This man is connected. He is plugged in to the Most High God, and God has given him information on how to win the battles. Hallelujah. I tell you, the Holy Ghost will give you information on how to win the battles of life. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You can get one word from God. It's called the Rhema. You can get healed. Your mate can get healed. You can be financially blessed because one word from God can turn it away. Turn it around and turn the enemy away and send him back the way he came. Go on, praise God for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Elijah didn't know this information naturally, but supernaturally, God revealed the knowledge to him, and God gave you the Holy Ghost so he can supernaturally reveal things to you. Not only for you, but for other people that have tragedies and emergencies in life. Another example of this gift is found in 2 Kings chapter 6. The king of Syria decided to arrest Elisha. I'm coming after you, old buddy. Look at this. And he found out that he was in Dothan. So during the night, he sent his army to surround the city. Now look at 2 Kings 6:15. 2 Kings 6:15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What in the world are we going to do? Now, during the night, the Syrian army had surrounded the city, and the servant of Elisha was filled with fear. I mean, fear gripped his heart. He said, what in the world are we going to do? Look at what the prophet had the peace with God. He knew his God. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. He knew that the peace of God belonged to him. The blessings of God belonged to him. He had walked with God. God had spoken to him. God had shown him wonderful things. How many things has God blessed you with? How many things has God shown you? How many times has God shown up in the emergence of life? And then when they come, we just come unglued. Oh, what am I going to do? Well, you just believe God. That's what you do. And you keep your faith solid, anchored to the solid rock, Jesus Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at 2 Kings 6:16. And he answered, fear not. This is Elijah talking to his servant. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Oh, this man had looked into the spirit world before. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw him. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots round about Elisha. Elisha prayed and asked the Lord to open Gehazi's eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he saw that he and Elisha were surrounded by the Lord's armies, by the horses and chariots from the glory world. This was the gift of the word of knowledge. Now, may God open our eyes to these revelational gifts. That's why we're studying these, so we can operate in the supernatural power of God. Now, next week, we're going to look at this gift, the word of knowledge, as it functioned in Jesus' life and in the early church. But I want to conclude this evening's study with an example of how this gift functioned in my mother's life and how the Lord used that gift to extend mercy to me and how God spared my life. Hallelujah. Now, you need to remember that these gifts, they operate in the emergencies of life. This is a sea bag right here. They call it a duffel bag in the Army. In the Marine Corps, they call it a sea bag. As you can see, these holes, well, they're all through it. If you hold it up right here, that if you were in this room, one of my buddies, Kay Kahuna, was killed instantly. My buddy Sanchez was wounded in the back. I was picked up and thrown backwards. Where I was sitting was blown all to pieces. Now, that sea bag is literally riddled with holes. There's no way humanly possible to escape that. Give me a close-up, Brother Baker, on that. Hallelujah. I want you to see this thing. This is an example of the word of knowledge. It actually could have been a word of wisdom because right now it is 8:01 here in Wilson, North Carolina. It's 8:01 in the morning in Vietnam, Southeast Asia right now. They're 12 hours ahead of time. So my mother was 13,000 miles away. She had absolutely no way of knowing my circumstances. But God revealed to her through the gift of the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom because of the time frame. Sometimes it's hard to identify these, that I was in grave danger. And she saw me in combat. She saw the whole world blowing up around me. And the gifts, they're like links in a chain. And I went back and analyzed this thing because I'm interested. I want to know what really took place in the spirit world. The gifts, I've said, they're like links in this chain right here. So first of all, that was a revelational gift working, the word of knowledge. Can you have that point one, revelational gift? I don't know if you got that loaded or not. The revelational gift is the word of knowledge that was operating. God showed her. My mother had no natural way of knowing my circumstances. None at all. None whatsoever. I'm 13,000 miles away. But the Holy Ghost showed her that I was in danger, and the Holy Ghost showed her what was happening. Secondly, there was an inspirational gift because she told me, she said, "Son, I sat straight up in the bed, and I saw you in combat with the whole world blowing up around you, and I began to pray in the Holy Ghost." Woo! I tell you what, she was talking to God, a hot line to heaven. Glory to God, my Lord. And then there was a power gift. According to my analytical, look at the gift of faith there. The gift of faith is when without any human effort, God brings to pass a supernatural thing. I love Dr. Lester Sumrall's definition. They work. They work all the time. Hallelujah. The power gift of faith, that is when God, without any human effort, he brings to pass a supernatural thing. I was literally picked up. I was sitting, to tell you the truth of the matter, I was sitting on four cases of beer that I had got singing country music in the USO. And I would take the beer and I would trade it for ice. And I would throw a party for all my buddies. In the Marine Corps, you couldn't have it two cans of beer a day. Other branches, you could have all you could drink. You get hard liquor. Not Marines. First to fight. Hallelujah. And so I threw my parties. But I had that stuff hidden down in my hooch. And I was sitting on it. And when I was picked up and thrown backwards, where I was sitting, it was blown all to pieces. Those cans were ruptured. Beer went everywhere. I'm trying to hide it the next day when they come to investigate the matter, you know. But that was I was literally picked up. Now, another example of this gifts operating was that a little girl was dying of a cancerous growth. You've heard this story. But God revealed to me through the word of knowledge that this child was healed. I saw it take place. I'm riding down the road. I'm looking at the traffic. I'm driving. And all of a sudden, I saw that growth. And it was huge. Covered all those intestines. Then all of a sudden, it began to shrink. Turned into a little black speck and disappeared. I said, glory to God. It's healed. The cancer was so large that the doctor couldn't operate. They had Christmas for that child in October. But guess what? They had Christmas at Christmas. That child, I followed that child till she was a teenager. Never did she have cancer again. And I saw it just disappear. I saw it. It decreased in size. The doctor said, well, it's decreasing. Said it's the size of an orange. And then they called me back and said, well, it's the size of a peach. And then they said, it's the size of a plum. I said, I don't care how big it is or how small it is. I saw it healed. And I saw it disappear. And that child is healed. And guess what? It disappeared. And she's healed. Come on, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I get interested in things like this because of these definitions and what I studied under Dr. Lester Sumrall. And I wanted to know, God, what gifts were operating. I analyzed what mother. I've got other stories I can tell you, but the gifts like links in a chain. Most of the time, it is not just one gift. We're expecting somebody to lay hands on us and heal us. Well, let the Holy Ghost flow the way he wants to flow. And let the church flow the way the church should flow. Accept the prayers of your brothers and sisters. Let there be unity, faith, and love. And the gifts will flow like a mighty river. Go and praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Now, how many gifts operated when that child was healed? Well, first of all, there was the power gift of healings. Because I had laid my hands on that child. My wife was there. I had prayed. Her mother was there. The Holy Ghost fell on her grandmother. I didn't know she was spirit filled. The Holy Ghost fell on that woman. She started speaking in tongues and praising God. So that was an inspirational gift. I prayed in tongues. So as two people praying in tongues, there's a inspirational gift there. And then the revelational gift, I saw it happen. I saw it into the spirit world. God revealed to me supernaturally what it was. I saw it. Now that I saw it, am I going to believe God? Am I going to say, well, that was just your imagination? See, these gifts, when God shows you something, you got to start operating in faith. God will show you something. Like God may say, pray for Sister Julia and I'll heal her. Well, Lord, is that really you? When you hear him enough and you're working an altar, and we have an altar, we have a prayer team here. I want people involved. I want you operating in the gifts of the Spirit. I want this church to be known as a place where the power of God is flowing. And you can go out to Westmoreland. Praise God. They got a bunch of radical people that praise God, dance in the Spirit, speak in tongues, and all kind of wonderful supernatural things are happening. We have let the devil take our praise. We have sat back on a seat of do little and do nothing. Let him rob the church of the supernatural gifts. I don't know anybody I can go to except for the Holy Ghost to find more. I've learned everything I can from people. I've studied their books. I have no one in my organization I can go to and say, lay your hands upon me. Make an impartation to me. But I tell you one thing I can do. I read that 1 Corinthians 12:1, that concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. God touched my heart and the compassion touched my heart for people. And I say, God, I've got to know. You got to have somebody, God. Why don't you just use me? God, you don't need a great big name. You just need somebody with a great big heart that will love you. And that's the church I want here. Westmoreland to be a church with a great big heart, reaching out to touch the others, that they may know, that they may be blessed. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. I want my wife to come, and we'll end with this. I want her to tell the story. This was the gift operating in her life. Maybe you've got testimonies. I know others that they have operated. I want you to go back and look and see, well, that, you know, this happened, this happened, this happened. And take those definitions and look at them and say, why didn't even know it? But now I do. It was the gift functioning. Tell about our daughter, Shug.
As a teenager, my daughter, Jessica, she rebelled against everything that she was taught, the way she was raised, and the parents that she had, and the life that we had given her. She totally rebelled against it. And because of that, her last 2 years of high school were spent in Idaho, which is a long way from home, but it was a choice that she made, a choice that we had to make. And we had some good neighbors, friends, good friends that used to be our neighbors that had offered her a chance to go out there and experience something besides Wilson, North Carolina, and the people that she was involved with here in Wilson, North Carolina. So that's how that all came about. But while she was there, the first year, I think it was, or maybe it was the second year. It was the second year. So it was her senior year in high school. During that year, or during that time, I had three very restless nights where I could not sleep. I was awakened, and I was troubled, and I began to pray in the Spirit. And this has only happened to me a couple of times in my life where I'm just so grieved and so heavy with whatever this is that I couldn't pray in English. I just began to pray in the Spirit. And I mean, I was just grieved.
Inspirational gift.
So for two nights, that's the way it went. Then the third night, it happened again. And so when I talked to Jessica on the phone, and I did about every day, I said, is there something wrong? Is everything okay with you? I said, I'm not able to sleep right now. I'm having trouble sleeping, and I've been praying. I said, and I don't know if it's you or what it is. I said, so help me there. No, Mom, everything's fine. Everything's going great. So I let it go. Well, a few months later, we had a family wedding. And
came home at Christmas.
Jessica flew home in October for her brother's wedding. And we were having a revival during that time with Paul Jackson at the old church. And so God used Paul Jackson to speak to her. And she was in the service that morning. He called her out from the audience up to the altar. And he spoke to her. And he said to her, Jessica, you know what this means. He said, but you need to tell your mother and your daddy, thank you for the home that you were raised in, for the parents that they've been, for the way they've prayed for you. And he said, and you need to do it now, quickly. And I didn't overhear that conversation, but that's
she
what
didn't
he
do
told
it.
Her.
That was the word of knowledge operating. He knew. He did not know through natural means. He knew supernaturally what had happened that she needed to tell her mother and thank her for the prayers. Continue, please.
So anyway, during that visit, she and I were up late one night talking and having some mom and daughter time. And she said, Mother, there's something I need to tell you. And I thought, oh, Lord, you know, what kind of news am I fixing to get? And she said, she reminded me of those nights when I had been so troubled and was praying in the Spirit and couldn't figure it out. She said that that night she had taken some friends home, and where she lived in Idaho was in the mountains. And I'm not talking about the kind of mountains that we have around here. They make our mountains look like foothills where she was. And she said that she had taken a friend home up in the mountains, up in the mountain, down a really windy, curvy dirt road. And on the way back down, her car got in some soft dirt or something and began to spin and went around and around and around. And when she stopped, the car was just about to go over the edge. And she said, Mom, the river down there looked so little. It looked like a ribbon. And she said, I literally couldn't get out of the front door, the driver's door. I had to crawl to the back of the car and get out. But she said to me that she realized when she looked over that God had spared her life and that she was not ready to go home to meet him, and that if she had died that night, she would have busted hell wide open. And so God used that incident to tell her, to show her that he's real, that he answers prayer. And so she did tell me, thank you, Mom, for being the woman that you've been, the praying mother that you've been, for the way I was raised. And she thanked her daddy, too. So God used that incident to turn her life around. And he spared her life. And I don't know, if I had not been troubled, if I had not been filled with the Spirit, if I had not prayed, I don't know if she would have made it or not. But I thank God for his precious Spirit.
Had she not prayed, let me tell you something. That girl would have gone to her death that night. She was not saved. Had my mother not prayed, I would have been blown up in that incident. That 82-millimeter mortar had my name on it. But God, I'm so thankful for the church. Church is not everything she needs to be right now, but I am so thankful for the church. Thank God that was a church in my darkest moment when I needed a Savior. And God spoke to me, and these are the words he said. When the morning comes,
yes,
go home to that Pentecostal church you were raised up in and give your heart to my son Jesus. I had to drive 60 miles, but I had heard from God. I want to encourage you as your pastor, study that material, pray and ask the Lord, ask him to take you back in your remembrance and show you things, because they're there, things that God has supernaturally done, and come some Sunday morning and share your testimony. And say, this was this gift, and this gift, and this gift. I want you to discover the thrill of the gifts operating in your life. Let us stand.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all see how great. How great is our God. How great,
I love you, Jesus.
Is our God.
I love you, Father. I love you, Holy Ghost. I love you.
Is our God.
I thank you so much.
All will see how great.
I worship you, Father.
How great.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost,
our God.
We acknowledge you. You are so great. You are so wonderful.
How great.
You're so good. You're a good God.
God. Yes, sing with
full
me.
Of compassion.
How great.
Full of mercy.
Our God. All will see.
And Jesus,
all
you said,
see.
I want my people, my redeemed, my covenant people. I want them to have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly.
You're the name.
More abundantly. Glory. Move in close on God. Love him with all your heart. Soul, mind, body, and strength. Trust him. And watch him work on your behalf. God of restoration, acceleration.
How great
good
is our God.
We love you, Lord.
Sing with me how
I love you, Jesus. Thank you so much,
is
Lord.
Our God.
For our families,
all
our children.
How great.
Lord, I just release your blessings to flow.
God.
Lord, in the homes, in this community,
oh, the name